Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Election Day, Tuesday, November 8th, 2016.
Bum, bum, bum.
Mark this day. It's going to be an historic day one way or another.
Yes.
So stay tuned. We're going to sit here and talk bullshit and stuff like we always do.
Sounds good.
No guests scheduled today since there's a lot to talk about. And hopefully we'll keep you entertained and informed. And maybe even a little challenged. We'll see.
Very nice.
Yeah. I mean, we're smart people here. We don't mess around.
No.
So, first of all, how are you doing, Tori?
I'm good. I'm wearing white because it is the color of the suffragette movement of Susan B. Anthony when they all tried to get the vote, which they finally did.
Uh-huh.
So everyone.
What year was that?
Ooh, 19...
Was it 27 or something?
I'm going to look this up.
Yeah.
But I
didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm trying to figure
you
out...
You should know that.
I know.
If you're wearing the suffragette color.
No, I can still believe in there without knowing the date.
That's true. That's
okay,
true.
Hold on.
Well, just a year, whatever. It doesn't matter. It was early on in the last century.
Yes. So they're wearing whites and golds and purples. So if you see a lot of people in line, I saw past a ton of voting people, long, long lines, and tons of women are in white, and they're wearing white pantsuits, which is also something that people
Whoa.
Are doing. So
Did
there
you wear
you go.
Gold, too? Did you wear gold?
I have white, and I have gold in my white. Ear of an earring.
Oh, okay.
There
well,
you go.
Good. I mean, at least you follow
oh,
the,
yeah.
there
the you
tradition.
Go. There you go, sisters.
Wow.
So big day, and just exercise your right that so many people had to sacrifice so much to give you.
Yeah. And I keep saying, a lot of people die and people kill for these privileges to mm-hmm. be able to vote for who's you want to lead you.
Yes.
And this is why we have such a great country. That's why I think a lot of people come here is because we have that freedom,
Absolutely.
And not to mention economic freedom, I mean, this place has always been known as the land of unlimited opportunities.
That's right. And also, don't forget that your work has to allow you to vote. So if you're waiting in line, they still have to allow you to vote. So don't think
they
you have to rush back. They have to allow you to vote. So make sure you get that in.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are going to do it during their work hours.
I know.
So they can miss an hour or two.
Why not? Make some history while chilling.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? That many countries have a holiday.
Yeah, it's some bullshit. We don't
right?
know. Oh, my God.
I mean, on this day, you
imagine
wanna,
people who
you
can't get
work.
Off of work. I mean, right. this is dreadful. I mean, if you're, it definitely should be a national holiday.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It should. I mean, it comes once in 4 years, presidential elections. I think we could take a day off.
Yeah, if we have Columbus Day of a fool who got lost and named it the Indies when it was actually America, we can have a national holiday for the voting of our presidency.
That's true. And we have special days for a lot of things,
Yeah, if we have Columbus Day, we should have this national holiday. Come on.
Okay, you don't have to say it twice.
We've I don't like that guy. Guy got lost and we have a whole holiday. Then he raped and pillaged a lot of people.
Well, where would you be if he hadn't discovered America?
No, true. Someone else would have. But he said he thought we were in. He thought it was India.
Yeah.
He got
that's
lost.
True. Well, in their times, they didn't know shit.
No, they didn't.
But to you, it doesn't. It's not that he called it Indies. It's that you're saying he pillaged and raped
stuff. I don't think. Yes, he is a explorer and a traveler and a brave man. I don't think the natives would necessarily think that.
Right, but you also have to remember when it happened. I mean, there were a lot of empires then, and everybody was taking their piece and their chunk.
Yeah.
You had the Portuguese and the Spanish and the Dutch.
And I don't,
And the British and the French, and they all had their empires. So that was part of the time, But,
I don't think the natives would. Yeah, I mean,
no,
I think,
maybe they don't, but you don't know that. Maybe they're happy that they have a modern life, you know?
Yeah, but I think they were also taken under control by Christians that totally would kill without them, maimed, took that, made smallpox happen, raped and... I mean, it was a terrible time for the people who were indigenous and didn't know what these people were. I'm not saying that it's not good now. I'm just saying it was not a good time for them.
Okay, it wasn't. But, you know, the thing is that if you noticed in history, it's always about conquering new land and the history is written by the winners.
Always.
So what can
always.
You do?
You can speak up for the losers.
Yeah, right.
That's what you can do.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
I know. So, election day in America, very exciting. I don't know why we're so excited. I think we're more like anxious than anything else. Excitement, I don't know if it describes that, because although some people may be excited about the candidates, many people are not. But it is an historic time, because it's really going to determine the direction of the country,
mm-hmm.
and possibly not only 4 years but 8 years.
Yeah, it's a big. I think it's exciting for people because they get to vote for the first female. That's always exciting, even if she doesn't win. It's kind of a cool thing for.
Right.
We've never had that. That's pretty really rad. Our Democratic Party has never nominated a woman. That's rad.
Right.
I remember voting for Obama, being like the first African American president. This is huge.
Yeah.
So I think that's exciting. But I think I'm anxious.
If it was in reverse, you guys would say it's sexist, wouldn't you?
What?
Like if men said, I'm voting because he's a man and not a woman.
I'm not saying I'm voting for her. I'm saying it's exciting that I get to vote for someone I like and she's a woman.
Okay.
I think that's cool.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I do, I am super anxious.
No, but you mentioned a lot of women that are voting for her specifically because she's a woman.
No, I never said that.
Oh, you didn't say that?
No.
Okay.
I said they're excited to be able to vote for a woman that they think is qualified. I never said they're voting for her because she's a woman.
So I'm sure there's a lot of men that are excited about that too, voting for a woman.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I see men in white.
Really?
They're all wearing white. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a big deal, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It really is, you know. And for those of you undecided, I think the best way to decide is to, I think, you know, if you're conflicted and stuff, you have to make a decision. Do I vote for the candidate, or do I vote for the party and the ideology?
Mm-hmm. Use your heart, people. Use your heart.
Yeah, decide where you're going to go with, you know. And but I want to preach a lot of tolerance, you know, because I don't think we're going to look good if we start having riots on either side.
No.
You know?
I watched Don Jr. on MSNBC this morning, and they were like, Don, do you think if your father doesn't win, he'll still concede? That's what everyone's anxious about,
right?
I think, is if he doesn't win, will there be a concession speech, or will this turn into something bad, right? That's, I mean, and we shouldn't have to feel that way. Democracy is you concede and give transfer power peacefully to the other person who won, but this guy's kind of an outlier. So we're all like waiting, and he said, absolutely, my father will concede if he doesn't win, and there's no outrageous attempts of voter fraud. So he said it on the air today, so hopefully... I don't know I don't think his dad will give a concession speech, but John Jr. says he will accept. He says his dad will accept the vote no matter what.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I hope there's nothing, you know, I mean, because there's a lot of extremists on both sides. And I just think if you look at social media and stuff, it really amplifies the whole thing. And you realize how people are so bitter and hateful. You know, and I mean, look, this kind of hatred, like, there was somebody that posted, I can't believe there's some people that support Trump that are on my friends list. And I'm going, like, this is like putting your head in the sand. This is like, I don't give a shit about anything if it's not my way. And, you know, I hope not a lot of people are like that.
I think so. I hope that, too. But I think the country has become more and more polarized, and it very much is.
Yeah.
I hope it's not true. But I think with especially this election, with these candidates, it has never been more polarizing.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I think it's more, we're more apart right now than probably in a long, long time.
Right. And I don't know that either one of them can unite us. That's the scary thing, you know?
And I think it takes time to heal, but it's a divide right now that is not only angry and bitter, now it's turned somewhat violent and it's scary. And I think it's nerve-wracking to know we don't have the unification. It's like after 9/11, we all got together and there was this sense of like America is together.
Right.
And, you know, 15 years later, you're here where you don't have friends that that are Trump, you know, you can't talk to your father-in-law who's a Trump supporter, or,
yeah,
you know, it's really, really polarizing, and it's gotten really bitter and really ugly.
Right. And it's probably thanks to the candidates themselves, wouldn't you say? Didn't they set the tone?
I think the whole, but remember the primaries of the 17 people in the Republicans?
Right.
There were so many of them, they had to kind of get nasty.
Right.
We also do, and I have to say, I'm not saying Donald Trump isn't going to win or anything, but he did come out as one of the nastiest candidates ever.
He has.
And there's tweeting, no one's ever done that before. Right. He said stuff that you can't even imagine. So yeah, I think it got the candidate, including, I think he really stepped it up, the meanness and the negativity.
Well, yeah, but you know, the statements about the deplorables and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
deplorables, you know, as opposed to like some really terrible things.
Yeah, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I think she apologized for that, as she should have.
No, but she talked about the people. He did, you know, what I'm saying is she said deplorables, whereas he said whatever he says to his,
no,
to his
he
opponent.
Says about no.
Okay.
He says any Clinton supporters, he says they're stupid, they're idiots, they shouldn't be in America. He says get them out of here. He talks about Clinton supporters terribly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I take that. But so I have a celebrities that are moving if Donald Trump wins.
Okay. I think I've won. I only know one.
This is
Bryan Cranston on there? That's the only one.
He is.
Okay.
He
okay.
Is.
Thank you.
But we can start. Well, it may be premature to buy him airline tickets, but I'll definitely help because these celebrities, I don't know. I don't care what side they're on. I really don't care what they have to say politically. They're entertainers.
Yeah.
Their opinion doesn't matter to me more than the another person on the street.
No, I agree. They just have more of a platform.
Right.
That's all.
So they have influence.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it.
But I mean, I think it's interesting. I know friends that said they would leave. They're not celebrities. I know.
Yeah,
really? I do.
Nobody's going to leave, though. I mean, what? Are you going to leave your life for 40 years just because you don't like the, you know, I mean, I don't know.
If you're a gay woman who might be getting pregnant and can't have an abortion, yeah, I might consider leaving. I mean, there's going to be a lot of policy shifts. So there is a sense of how much change will America go through, and how much a president can't really, I mean, they can alter so much because they have the Supreme Court nominees. That's the big deal.
Right. Exactly.
So that's the big deal.
And the executive power and all that, you know. But so, I mean, obviously it's important who the president is. But
it's also important for everyone. Like the Senate is a big deal, too.
Right.
That's up in the air now. And as you see, when Obama is a liberal and you have a Republican Congress, they will do everything to stop him. So nothing gets done. So if Hillary doesn't get a Democratic Senate, it's not going to be very easy.
It doesn't work the other way around.
It really doesn't. It can't. It does, but things go, and it used to go with more bipartisan. Like John McCain would go to the White House and talk to Clinton. I mean, they had dinners when it was friendly and they discussed bills. This is what happened. McCain, Feingold, that those are bipartisan. However, now, as soon as Obama came, it became nothing he says we're going to pass no matter
but,
what.
But I think that happened with Bush as well when the Democrats had the majority.
I think so too. I have to admit, it's been a more polarizing situation as it's gotten. But now it's like they won't even take meetings with the president. That's like unheard of.
I know. But you know, the thing is I haven't really seen Congress cooperate with the president for years, you know, it doesn't matter who it was.
No, but remember the Ted Kennedy, Biden, like McCain, those people, they'd meet, they'd go golfing together. That is a bipartisan relationship that I think went back to the 1800s. Mm. You'd have, Jefferson meeting with others. It wasn't so contentious, although I'm not saying it wasn't contentious. Mm. I'm saying there was a sense of decency about the bipartisanshipness. And now it's like, you are my enemy. I will never even meet with you. Yeah.
It's enemies.
I mean, smoke and mirrors is about politicians smoking cigars in rooms, but together working out the vote. Now they won't even go in the same room as each other. Like, that's different.
Yeah. So that speaks about our politics, I think, a great deal, you know, because we can't sit together and get anything done. We're so busy putting each other down or blocking each other's decisions.
Yeah, nothing happens. It's a lack of sort of, you know, in the McCarthy era where he was like, are you a communist? Are you a communist? And he was this terrible guy pointing people out. Finally, someone stood up and said, have you no decency, sir? And it's sort of like that. Like, we sort of lost just basic decency.
Right.
I think.
And it's probably part of the culture, too. It reflects our culture.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, when you see all these murders and all this crime and stuff and people
road rage
killing,
and
racial killings and police killings and all that stuff, you know.
There's so much anger. There's so much anger.
There's a lot of anger.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm not pointing fingers at this point. It doesn't really matter. The question is, what do we do from this point on?
Right.
Exactly. And we're split on where the country needs to go.
But I also think, to be honest, and even if you're a hardcore Republican, but maybe not a Trump fan, I think you can agree the allowance that Trump has opened and broadened in terms of insults, it's better for the country not to have a politician or candidate like that, to grow up and have that be your nominee for your party.
Right.
I mean, even as a Republican, you would probably want someone more decent as a human being and less insulting and bullying. Any one of them would have been more decent.
Right.
And he is just on the extreme. So I think if we get back to a politician that's more maybe political, but at least less rude, I think it can help less polarized. But he's just particularly mean. Do you know what I mean?
Trump, I do. That's, I mean, it's thing. Not debatable at
no,
all.
No, it's not. But you the can't question debate me. Is, right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, related to what you said, I think Republicans that don't like Trump, they still have to ask themselves, you know, I liken it to a football game. I don't know if I'm correct or not, but it's as though you back your team, okay, and then you don't like the new quarterback.
Right.
But the thing is, do you jump teams? Do you switch teams just because you don't like the quarterback?
But what if you don't like the quarterback because he makes, like, awful decisions for that team?
Right. But it doesn't mean... But you don't have a choice. Let's say it's just... That's all you have. The thing is, I can't possibly see how I can back the other team.
I'll tell you why.
Because it's more than football. It's about ideology. Mm-hmm. And when I'm seeing the left... is the left equals socialism or Obama 8 years, I've had enough, I'm having to really think about what I'm going to do. And
does he make you nervous?
What?
Trump.
Yes.
So
he makes me nervous, but so does Hillary. She
but like
really
with
does.
Nuclear codes?
I don't think he... I'm not worried about that. No.
Really?
Yeah.
So if his handlers had to take his tweeting ability away from him this weekend, if he can't be controlled to tweet, you're not nervous about him with nuclear codes? I think that's what you should vote
on. Well, but
on.
He's not a politician yet. He's not there yet.
He should be.
Yeah.
He should be. Yeah. Honestly, I think if it comes down to literally, do you trust him?
Yeah.
Does he make you
well,
nervous?
Yeah,
because you have to understand. I agree with going with the Republican pure conservative vote. That is an American right and a long held, and I have deep respect for that. Mm. But he is so different to me that I can't believe you can trust him. Mm. And I think at the end, you're voting for a person to be in charge of everyone. And one of the main things is not do I like him, do I not? Do I trust that person?
Right.
And I don't.
But you know what? The thing is that. Again, it's about ideology, too. You know, I mean, look, the parties and the ideologies have persisted regardless of who was president.
Totally. Absolutely.
I mean, but they've changed. I mean, you know, the Democrats used to be for a lot of things they're not for and vice versa.
I mean, Lincoln was a Republican.
Right.
So but all I'm saying is this particular election, I agree with you. He, because of his outlierness of being so mean and aggressive and no self-control and sort of rageful, you're voting for a person. He's such a person that if he makes you nervous, he should not be in charge of the button. And it comes down to that basic. I know the ideology for me, that's more like a congressman. That's more because this guy is so off the wall that it trumped.
Yeah,
no pun intended. It trumps the other thing. But no, I hear you, and it's like heartbreaking, I think, for conservatives.
Well, but let me tell you something. I totally oppose the Iran deal, for example. So the thing is I can't trust Hillary with the Iranians. I can't trust her with the Saudis.
That's a valid argument. Yeah, that's a valid argument.
So that's what I'm saying, you know. So it's really hard. And then again, you go, well, is it for the team? Is it for the ideology? Because I'm totally against, like, redistribution of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very big capitalist. Mm-hmm. So how do I vote for the left? I can't see how I can do that.
And I'm saying this particular... I understand that. And I'm saying this particular election is so different that is the reason you can vote left only. And I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just saying this is why I tell when I have a discussion, I say, because it's like a quarterback. Not only do you maybe not like the quarterback, but he's like somewhat dangerous. That's when you switch the teams. It's like he's not just not likable, and he's just not, you know, I don't really agree with all of his policies. He's an overall question mark for me. And he's too volatile. And so if you have a quarterback that's literally dangerous for the team, in keeping with that sports metaphor,
right,
that's when you switch teams.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. But I totally get it. What I'm saying, though, is the other side can say the same thing about Hillary. She's very dangerous in her ways.
But
you
see,
know?
I don't think I hear that.
But you don't see that, because that's what I'm saying. You're a supporter.
No. I don't appreciate a ton of... I have disagreements on her. I think she's more hawkish than I am. I think she's more pro-war than I am. She's a very aggressive person in terms of the military. However, I think she is A, qualified, and B, not volatile. Meaning, if someone tweets something, she won't have revenge on something that could cost lives. Mm. I think she is more controlled. So if I'm voting for a person, not just an ideology, because it's a person you're voting for, the top of the list, right? Mm-hmm. I want someone who I can at least believe will be the calmest person in the room during an emergency.
Right.
And I do not believe he will ever be the calmest person in the room. And that's, to me, that's all you have to know. Because it's like, when you get into the situation room, who will you trust? That's it. Because it's the person with the button. It's not the ideology with the button. It's that guy or that woman. So it's just, but I get it.
It's also a big... hypothetical, you know, because I mean, the thing is, I don't see in the near future anybody having to press any buttons.
Ooh, I don't know.
Unless we're,
I don't think, you know what? I don't know if that, you don't have no idea Obama hasn't gotten close to that.
Well, no, I don't know that. But what I'm saying is that we can't know it, you know.
We can't know it, but with North Korea adding missiles, with Putin with ideas of it, with ISIS coming up with more advanced technology, that is a question for me.
Well, you know what? I have to say that with those very things you just brought up, I would rather have someone who's stronger and tougher.
Oh, I see. She's a war hawk, man.
I don't know about that. You know, I mean, the thing is that the military is weaker than it's been in a long time.
I disagree.
You don't think so?
No, I think
you
it's more efficient.
You don't think that we're spending less on the military than we used to?
I think in terms of inflation, we're spending, if not the same or more, but we're trying to be more efficient about what we have. Like Obama said, we don't want B-52s. We want like aerodynamic radarless submarines. So it's going to be much sleeker and not as many people on the ground.
Right.
So I think that is hard to get over, but she's tough as nails. Sometimes I think too tough, to be honest. Mm. However, I get that he's strong and he looks like a leader. I get
and
that. The energy of
and
a leader.
He scares the enemy.
Right. However, I feel you. But it's the question of, you got to think as an intelligent person, it comes down to, you're in the room and you have to use judgment. And I just don't, I cannot trust that guy's judgment. Mm. I can't.
Well, I accept your opinion.
I accept yours, man. I think it's such a good relationship we have about it, because it's not
Absolutely.
Disrespectful. And I think it's really educational. But I want to go smoke like a huge bong because I'm so nervous.
Really? Wow. We should have brought something.
No.
I do have a vaporizer here.
There we go.
Some.
I mean, I'm just so nervous. Come on. I am. This is it's got everything on the line.
But yeah, because you see, there's a lot of stake and we're passionate about it. And
gay rights, women's rights. I mean, it's not just like disagree with a little thing. He'll shut down. Planned Parenthood to a woman.
I don't know that he will.
He said it out loud.
But she says a lot of things too. And you know what?
I know. But if
politicians say a lot of things that people want to hear, half of the things they don't do.
If he says, "I promise to defund Planned Parenthood," I'm going to take him at his word. And guess what? And they all cheer and scream and say, "Lock her up, that cunt."
Right.
Guess what? As a woman, I'm real nervous for this election.
There you go. And that's why there's so many different opinions.
Yeah.
Because many people vote on single issues or a couple of issues or something, you know. And I sort of, again, I look at all the issues because I'm following my ideology. I want America to stay capitalistic
and
individualistic.
That, and all I'll say is, the president is not an ideological idea. It's a person. The president is a person. So just know that. You're voting for the person whose brain will be in charge. It's not the ideology. It's the person.
Well, you know, I think
But I feel
when they become president, they're not king. In other words, they still have to answer to their own party. And
but not
like
at the very moment of an emergency. Really, it is in law.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are responsible for literally America. At the very end, it goes to the president. Mm. So it's yes or no. It is that person, not the ideology, that makes the decision.
Yeah.
That's what makes me nervous.
But, you know, you also have to agree that Ronald Reagan, when he became an actor, I mean, he was an actor, then he became governor. And then, you know, he did he didn't know how to be president. I don't think any of the presidents that were elected really knew what it would be like to be president you're there.
Of course, but remember, Ronald Reagan was one of the most decent, well-spoken orators with kindness and bipartisanship you could ever imagine.
Right.
So, like, that, comparing him to Trump is outrageous because...
No, I'm not. I'm bringing up the fact that he was a Republican.
Right, but that, I would have... I mean, Reagan, as an actor, he came across very likable and actually had a lot of good policies. So if Trump had come across with, like, kind of a strong campaign with a lot of policies and some business entrepreneurial sense to it, again, he would have been much more a landslide.
Right.
But he didn't. He came across as like the bully. So right. I get why people voted for Reagan. He was a totally reasonable candidate.
So let me ask you this. Why do you think people vote for Trump?
So other than the people who like the KKK people, you mean?
No, I don't mean those. I mean, if Trump like... Let's say they're both pretty close right now, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's half the electorate, half the voters are voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people are? Why, if he's so terrible, why is half the country virtually voting for him?
Now, that's a great, great question. And I think you have to look at the reason he energized the base so much and that he's so many numbers is because he told the whole America that he's not a politician and that he will change America, and basically said Washington is rigged, and a lot of people feel that way. I mean, that I think was the Democrats' fault. They underestimated the idea that going after the feeling of being rigged and cheated, that was a rumbling of an underground group that I think the Democrats completely missed. Mm. That's what Bernie Sanders was touching
into. Exactly.
That's why he was.
Why did he win the Democratic ticket?
Yeah. To be honest, it's very hard to get a strong extremist to take the nominee. However, y'all got Trump, so that's, I don't know how, but I'm saying a more moderate person is more likely to get the vote. However, Trump, because of his, brilliance at the microphone without the teleprompter, there is no one as funny, charismatic, and really energizing and looks like the macho silverback gorilla. He looks like the alpha male that these dudes want to follow. He does that brilliantly. So not only does he that, he speaks into a part of America that feels like they got left behind. And the Democrats never picked up on that very well. So he just took a hold of it. And when you get that group, you get half America. You get those people that feel like they are getting stomped on. And when you are going to elect change, then you're going to go for Trump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then you have to question the Obama administration and his period of presidency. Why are so many people feeling that way after 8 years of Obama?
But see, I'm trying to tell you that I think the recession started during the Bush presidency, and Obama tried to make that and has now made that
I'm
better.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it didn't. I'm not talking about the recession even, but a lot of things, people believe that Obama has weakened us in the world. I strongly believe that.
I strongly disagree with that.
Okay.
So
we don't have to argue about it.
We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah, you know. But all I can say is I call it kissing up to Muslims is unusual for an American president. I mean, some of the things he said, and maybe I'll bring it up. I didn't bring it here, but some of the things he said, were like, it makes you do like a double take. Wait a minute. You're an American president. Why is that so important
because
to you?
Because as the leader of this country, he has to lead by example, and he cannot be a generalized racist. So he has to speak up. Let's say Jews were doing terrible things. You would expect the president to say, just like Ronald Reagan did, and spoke up for Muslims, and he spoke up for the Iranians and said they're not all like this.
Yeah, but he backed the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And then he had to change course. You know what I mean?
Obama's perfect. I'm saying Obama went the right way, I think, of going high and trying to teach non-prejudice. That's what I think he did.
Okay, well, I don't
agree.
No, I don't think it worked very well. You know, I mean, because the thing is this, look, and that is, I think, one of the major differences we have in ideology is that I think liberals believe that if we set an example, the enemy will learn and behave in the same way. Am I right about that?
No, I think what I say he wants to set an example for is for America not to go down the path that so many other countries have gone down. I don't mean an example for the rest of the country. I mean, for the rest of the world. I think he needed to set an example for our country so that we don't attack Muslims on the streets and it becomes Nazi Germany again.
Yeah, but that's not... I mean, he was talking about Muslims all over the world, not necessarily in America. But I'm talking about...
Well, yeah. And I think America is sort of a leader in that global climate. And I think he has to be very careful about what he says. And that's, I don't think Trump is careful at all.
Yeah, right.
So saying, for instance, all Mexicans are rapists, right. He didn't, if he had brought up a case, he could have brought up specifics, but he just said all. That's what scares me. You can't say all.
No, you can't say
and
all.
And that's why I think Obama's being very careful of saying not all Muslims. This is the high majority of Muslims are peaceful people.
Yeah.
Huge majority.
Yeah. But here's the one I was specifically looking for, because this one disturbs me. He said this. He said, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
Right.
I mean, this is an American president. He's talking like a Muslim.
What's wrong?
And the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
Wait, I've seen Bill Clinton say prayers in Hebrew. What's wrong with him speaking up about another religion?
No, but it's like such a big deal, as though he's generalizing for the whole world, pretty much, because to those who slander the prophet of Islam. So this could be anybody. Okay, so the future must not belong to those people. I don't know. I don't get it.
You don't think that the people, like those that blow themselves up, he's saying, are slandering to the prophet?
No, that's not who it is. That's not what he meant. Is that what you think he meant?
I think that's...
Oh, I think he meant about the anybody that doesn't like Islam. I'm not talking about the, like, for example... Okay, we're looking at it two different ways, but
I understand what you're saying, where
you're thinking he's talking about the Islamic extremists.
Those that use Islam in the name of if jihad are those that are going against the prophet. But I also see it from your point of view that he's saying, but I think he would say that about, I don't agree with everything he says. I just think what he's trying to do is not condemn an entire religion, which if it had been Trump and this had happened on his watch, might have happened.
Yeah.
And you would have had Muslims' doors being kicked in by random, and it becomes Nazism. It becomes a group of people that hate an entire religion, and it becomes out of control.
I don't think that's going to happen in America. That's why I think that comparison is not.
Did you see what Germany just put in the New York Times? A full page ad said, just take it from us. Do not go after the warmonger who singles out certain religions. Take it from us, your friends Germany.
Okay, well, you know what, the Germans are not an example for me, but you know, but the thing is that my main problem with these statements is this. We're not at war with Islam, okay? That's what Obama said. But the point is that at least radical Islam is at war with us, okay? And now just imagine, I mean, we're talking about millions of people that are like extremists. I mean, you know, out of 1.5 billion people, what percentage do you think are extremists?
Very low.
Okay, what, like 1%?
I can't tell you exactly. No,
but 1%?
I have no idea.
Half
I think
of a percent?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I can just tell you it's
very
low. But
you agree it could be a few million?
I have no idea. I just know it's not a lot of people compared to the huge amount of... And Muslim is the most populous religion in the world.
Yes.
So they have the huge majority of Muslims have never done anything nor believe in extremism.
No, that's true. But that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that religion has an army. An army. Those extremists are really...
But Christians have an army. Like extreme Christians. Like the militia.
No, but they don't do what the extreme... we don't have the extreme... the problems that we may have with some extremists
in America. Like the Oklahoma City bombing. Like Timothy McVeigh was
okay, but this is like a global thing, you know? I mean, with extreme Islam. And you see, it's like they want to take over the world. They'll stop at nothing.
But that's what you get from every extremist
group.
But you can't be appeasing them. I know, but I think right now this happens to be extreme Islam. In the Crusades, it was extreme Christianity.
Okay, but again, this was back then.
But I'm talking about history. This always happens with extremes. Extremists will happen in any religion, and at some point in history, they will try to take over the world. This has gone on and on
So how do you deal with them? What do you do?
You have a war with the extremists, with ISIS.
Okay.
Which I think he's doing with drones.
Okay, well, yeah, but a little too late also, you know. But we also have a coalition there. Remember, we're not really fighting. We're back in the rebels,
Because
which is a good thing.
I agree.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to fight.
I agree.
If we don't have to, you know.
I agree.
So, but the what people, I think, people that are anti-war... don't understand is by appeasing the enemy, you're not making things better. And if you want to talk about appeasement, remember the Chamberlain thing? before World War II. Appeasement, peace in our time, and we ended up having World War II.
Yeah, but now you're going back.
Okay, because you were wearing. Okay, if you promise me you won, then I won't.
No. It's like a history. You have to bring up history.
You open up the doors, so I'm saying. But appeasement has not worked. And I think when your enemies get up to kill you, you got to rise up and defend yourself.
And guess what? I don't think Hillary Clinton has a problem with that. Mm. I don't think she has a little bit of a problem with that.
Okay, do you think that Obama has?
I agree with you feeling like it was a little late. Mm. But then again, this kind of sprung up out of sort of nothing.
Okay.
I do think it was a little bit too late. And in my opinion, I would have liked to have him be a little more aggressive. Mm. However, am I more of a pacifist? I mean, yes, I do have issues with what he did in terms of when he did it and how hard he did it and what we knew about it and the drone. Yeah, I have issues. But in the whole, I think he probably saved a lot of lives by keeping things under control instead of escalating the entire situation.
Yeah.
But I feel you. I understand the anger there. Everyone has tried to go into Afghanistan and tried to take,
yes,
even since the Russians, and
tried.
It can't, and no one can.
Yeah.
So just, I think he's in a tough position. What he did is de-escalated as much as possible.
Yeah.
He killed Osama bin Laden on his watch. So, and he made a big, bold move to do that. So I'm thinking we all weren't prepared for ISIS. No one was sort of prepared for the treachery and, you know, horribleness of what it was.
Yeah, but he was a little too late for an American president to say it was a JV team when everybody else already knew something's going on.
I don't think everybody else knew.
I think so. I mean, at the time when he said this, obviously people already felt it was a concern when they brought it up.
But he's saying that also to, like, piss off. I mean, that's a very carefully worded statement. I think it backfired, but yeah. I think that's trying to tell them and show how strong. That's a worded statement to show how strong America is. I think you're right. I think they underestimated ISIS, yeah. But I think everybody did.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So the celebrities that are wanting to leave.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, America, if Trump gets voted, I guess we should take a little lighter side to today.
Yeah.
Cher is actually saying that if he were to be elected, I'm moving to Jupiter.
Jupiter?
Jupiter.
Jupiter, Florida, or the planet?
No, Jupiter, the planet, probably.
Okay. If I could turn back.
Bryan Cranston, of course.
Oh,
Let's see, where is he moving to?
I thought he said Canada, I think.
He's headed to Vancouver, yes. Amy Schumer, where is she going? She's moving to... she's learning to speak Spanish because I will move to Spain, she said.
Okay.
Okay, so Amy Schumer is moving to Spain. So we're going to have, like, ambassadors of Trump haters in every country.
I think they're already there, man. The rest of the world is kind of right there.
I know. But that's the thing. You know, some Trump supporters are saying just because the world doesn't want him, we need to put him there so people will have some respect for us.
It's terrible.
I'm telling
idea.
You. I know, but we've come to that point. I think if people are feeling that angry and that scared, then we've gotten to that point.
I want to keep
his watch.
All I want is some dignity and decency back.
Yeah.
And I think he is
the
opposite.
No, I know you do. But what I'm saying is our enemies don't know what that means.
Yeah, but I think you can have both. I think you have a war hawk who also has some sense of decency because she's been in office for the last 20 years.
No, that's true. But the thing is that I feel, and you know what's interesting is that I don't know why this happens, but, well, I know why it happens. But when I talk to fellow Israelis, we sometimes look at each other and shake our heads because we feel we know that Muslims only understand violence, okay?
You don't think that's a generalization?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
All Muslims?
Because, no, I'm not saying all Muslims.
Oh, you just said
I did say Muslims,
okay.
Right? Okay. So let's say our experiences with Muslims have been that they only respond to violence.
So the Muslims you
and
know,
that's what,
I get you.
What they understand, right. Because, yeah, we know Muslims on an intimate level, not like here. Okay, look, here we maybe get the best of the best. The best of the best move here to America to rise above the Sharia law because they're modern Muslims, okay? Let's say I don't include them, okay?
So the Muslims...
But who I do include is... Every Muslim in the Middle East, every Muslim in the Middle East is...
You
is
can't
pretty
honestly
much anti,
believe that.
Anti-West.
You can't believe there's not... peaceful Muslims in the Middle East. that one piece.
No, there are. Okay, there are.
Okay,
there are. But as a people, as a religion, as an ideology, there's a lot of hatred, mainly towards Jews. So that, you know, that I'm familiar with. But when they say to you, after Golda Meir said that to them, then they say, and you see signs by Palestinians that say, we want to kill you more than we want to save our children. Mm-hmm. Like Golda Meir said, the Arabs will lay down their arms when they love their children more than they hate us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make that clear that that's what was said. And but that's not the case when you see them sending little kids with bombs on them, and it's not made up. I mean, you can see the videos.
No, but I'm not disagreeing with absolutely anything you said, except for that I would just have to qualify that as that's an extreme
so
group of Muslims.
That's extremes. Okay, so you know what? I'm going to take it upon myself to actually look up some numbers.
Perfect.
Because we are talking sort of like in the air.
Yeah, we got to get.
We don't have, because you think there's not a lot. I think there's a lot. So,
but you also grew up in a place where there was such a dense environment for you.
Right.
That of course you feel like it's a lot because it was all over.
But that's where it starts from the Middle East.
I understand that, but
that's where it still is.
I'm telling you, the percentage of extremists. Uh-huh. Compared to the majority of the billions or the 1.5 billion people that are Muslim, it's an extremely low. However, they make the most noise.
Right.
So you hear about it a lot, but it is not an enormous group of people.
But it's a group of millions of people.
But that's what every extremist group is.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's what?
Every religion has an extremist group at some point in history that has
thousands of warriors.
What do you think of the Crusades?
There you go again.
Why? That's history.
But I'm talking right now. It's like you're repeating yourself with the history. I totally get the Crusades.
But you're trying to say, have you ever had extremists that were in the thousands or millions that were warriors?
Not of other religions right now.
No,
there's one religion with a big army. That wants to destroy the West.
See, I don't think the army is that big compared to the Muslim.
I think it's millions.
Okay, but they have 1.5 billion.
ISIS has 30,000. That's a pretty big army.
No, my God. No, it's not.
No?
No.
For a group like that?
But not for 1.5 billion people of that religion. You're causing... That's like,
so how come the 1.5 billion are not defeating those that bastardize their religion?
First of all, I completely agree that Muslims should take up... Not Muslims, but I mean those people that live in the Middle East should protect their own country against these extremists. I completely agree with that.
Okay.
However, they make the biggest noise and they have not a lot compared to the majority of Muslims.
Right.
It's just a fact. I will look up numbers too. I will have them for you tomorrow. But it is not it is not the majority. And every religion at some point in history, which is why I keep bringing up history, because that's what we see, is some point they've had religious extremists and they make the most noise and they're known as that. That just happens in history.
Okay.
And it's happening again.
All right, so let's take it to somewhere a little more personal because you brought up, we were talking about feminism and that you're for the suffragette and the women and stuff. You're a strong woman in those opinions. My question is, how can you support a religion? Before that, let me ask you this. What do you think the majority of Muslims practice Sharia law?
I have no idea.
You don't know?
No, I don't.
Okay. So let's say for those who do, do you support them for the way they treat women?
No, I also think there's a lot of Jews, Orthodox Jews, that treat women poorly
that I don't agree with. Yes, but that's a small percentage of all Jews than a percentage of Muslims. In other words, like the very religious, the Orthodox, they're not a majority. Okay, but what I'm contending is the majority of Muslims practice Sharia, which puts a woman as subjugated to the man.
Do I agree with that part of their religion? No. Do I agree with other parts of the religion? Yes. Do I agree with parts of Judaism? Yes. Do I disagree? Yes.
Okay.
Do I think women should be able to drive and have access to education and vocational rights? Absolutely. I think that that's no matter what. I think we're living in 2016 and things should be a fair and have women's rights. Do I also disagree with a lot of stuff of other religions? Yes.
Right.
I disagree with anyone being put down or right. you know,
but
put
if
in
you
a
mention
submissive.
History, I can say that women have always been subjugated. Why are we changing it now? You know what I'm saying?
No.
I mean, I'm all for equal rights and everything, but you keep mentioning, okay, you're saying, well, women shouldn't be treated like that. They should be treated equally mm-hmm. and whatever, right? But in the past, in every culture, women have not, well, not every culture, but in our Western culture, women have not been treated as equal.
Right.
I mean, to this day, they're still not being paid equally and everything.
Right.
So what I'm saying is look at the, also look at the past, you know? I mean, you're looking at the past with the Crusaders. You don't get what I'm trying to
no.
say?
No.
Okay.
I think in the past, women have been subjugated to being submissive, and we've risen up and educated ourselves and fought and made changes, and that's what I think we all want. But that's just history.
Okay, well, I think we totally lost
that I didn't understand
one.
What you were saying at all.
Okay,
sorry.
I know. So and I don't want to go over it again.
Yeah, I think...
But, okay, let's move on.
I think you want I think progress is always moving forward, and things have always been bad in the past, right. and things are always... Progress means you move forward. That's the just trend of history.
Okay, but this is a religion that somehow managed to keep its people in the Stone Age, don't you think?
I disagree with a lot of Sharia law. I disagree with a lot of different religious laws.
And not just
laws.
Sharia law, but I mean, look, the Arabs in general have I mean, look at most of their places. You do have Dubai and rich places like that, right? Saudi Arabia. But when you go into most Arab places, they're very poor, okay? The religion keeps them, like, subjugated to their leaders. There's always a lot of corruption, a lot of poverty, a lot of suffering. And,
but that's you could say that the same thing in like African nations. You know what I mean? That happens in a huge...
Many African nations are Muslim too.
Yeah, I know. But I'm also saying there's subjugation and there's... I think it's not a matter of ideology. It's a matter of evolving and progress. And I think certain countries have lacked behind others. I think, yes, I'm so...
So that's what I'm saying. I think they stayed in the Stone Age pretty much the way they treat women and people in general, human rights.
But I think that hopefully will be... And I think women are all around the world are gathering together to hopefully make that change so that let's say we do have Hillary Clinton as president, there might be sanctions on countries that don't allow women to vote, or that's how you make things happen. That's how you make change happen.
Right.
So I think it's all a cause and effect. And I think, I do agree that a lot of those, I am so glad I'm not a woman in Syria or thank God in
yes,
Saudi Arabia. Can you
yes.
imagine? Yes. However, that doesn't mean I hate the whole people. I hate a part of that extreme religion.
Yeah, but I don't think we hate the whole people. That's not the point we're trying to make. Again, I think 1.5 billion people represent a lot of great people. That's not what I'm saying. But, and that's maybe for another day because we're almost out of time. But I do want to bring in the Quran and things like this. I want to also look up some numbers that we talked about. So we don't talk up in the air, you know.
Perfect.
So we know we have like support to what
and
we
what
saying.
We should have is an academic professor of, you know, Muslim background, because we don't know what we're talking about.
That's true.
So we really shouldn't be arguing. What we need is an academic or scholar to give us some actual background who's unbiased, who just has some background.
Right.
Yeah. We should find that. If you are that person, please call in.
But I would qualify that we don't know anything by saying that I think we do.
Okay. I agree. I'm just not
think we know a lot.
I don't know enough detail and background to support cogent arguments with Muslim law. I wish I did, but I don't.
Right.
So I'd rather have someone there that does. But I do think we know something. I just don't know enough about the background.
So let's find a Muslim scholar. Why not?
Anyone, please tweet.
Yeah.
If anyone knows one. I think I have some friends. Yeah. I'll make some calls.
Okay. And then we'll bring other sides too.
Yeah. No, I want an unbiased person.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy.
Well, if he's Muslim, he's not going to be unbiased.
She's Muslim. Hey, whoa,
Okay. What?
A Muslim can't be unbiased?
Talking about Islam? I don't think so.
Wow. You are a lot of a generalizer.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. That's like saying a Jew can't be unbiased about or just like.
He is more likely, though, to be biased towards his.
I don't think you can prove
no?
that.
No? Okay. So, I mean, but look at the colleges. I mean, we have a lot of anti-Semitism there that is allegedly or apparently started by Muslim anti-Israel.
You also have
BDS.
But you also have white people putting
professors.
You have white people putting nooses on black mannequins at certain colleges. There's always going
to
be professors on professors' doors.
What do you mean?
Are you saying professors are writing
the professors are creating an environment of anti-Semitism in many colleges?
Well, I need more specifics because I don't think.
You
know?
Okay, I'll get you. I'll get you these specifics.
Okay. I want to know how many professors.
Scholars, and I'll show you Islamic scholars. I mean, they're scholars, and they really take on the West. So, you know, that
I'm talking
happens.
About professors making anti-Semitic statements or something in or, colleges.
Yes, like that they teach history that's not that's biased, let's say, against Jews.
Okay, and against I'd like
Israel.
Some numbers.
That's yeah, look up the BDS movement. I mean, that's something big that's going on in trying to delegitimize Israel. And that's happening a lot in the colleges. That's where it started from.
Okay.
But at any rate, you know, we're talking about America. We're not talking about Jews or Israelis. We're talking about America, folks. Go out and vote. That's the most important thing.
Use your power.
Use your power. Be an American. Enjoy your freedom. I mean, many immigrants that came here came from places where they couldn't vote.
That's right.
They escaped persecution and you have to hide. I mean, think about all those dissidents, you know, in places like China and you know, in Indonesia and stuff, Malaysia, where or North Korea, where they're afraid to speak up.
You can't even have the internet in North Korea.
Yeah, you know, you can't tweet. I mean, imagine, you can't tweet there.
No, you can't even breathe in North Korea. You can't do anything. No.
You know, in many of these places, including in Iran. Don't,
and not so, not so long ago, yeah. Not so long ago, like John Lewis, the congressman, said, my skull has been fractured 4 different times marching for my right to vote. So please don't take this for granted. Because even he's still alive. It's not that long ago, had to vote. You know, go for equal rights for blacks and enfranchisement. So just know that he's still a congressman, and he had his skull fractured 4 times fighting for your right to do this.
Yeah, exactly. And also remember, there's a lot of things to vote on that are not the president.
Weed.
You know, no. Yeah, propositions. We have Senate and House.
Death penalty issues.
Runs, exactly. So there's a lot of stuff to vote on, and you may not think that you vote matters, but somehow it does.
Yeah, make sure you also, if you are confused by the propositions, go ahead and look for on Google for like cheat sheets if you are by any of your publications that you really follow, because they sometimes will help you get
exactly
easier.
And yeah, many people probably already got stuff in the mail, you know.
I got so much stuff.
So much stuff, right?
My God.
And every proposition and everything. I mean, exactly. Even the highway patrol sends me what they prefer and what they
don't
prefer.
Yeah, so just get a cheat sheet. You can take it in with you, so you're not overwhelmed.
Exactly. You know, I got those booklets. I already have them marked and everything.
Yeah,
so
prepare.
So you don't have to. The worst thing you can do is sit at the poll and start reading.
Yeah, exactly.
And understanding this for the first time.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
You need to understand both sides.
Yeah, get educated. Get ready.
Yeah. Anyway, but even if you don't, by now it's kind of too late maybe to get educated on all this stuff. At least vote for a president. Vote for those that you know what you're voting for. But do it. Don't say I can't decide. When you don't decide, you still decide not to decide.
Amen. Amen, right? Sister.
All right. Well, Tori, thank you.
Anytime.
Always fascinating radio right here.
Always.
And everybody, thank you so much. Tomorrow we'll be back with a new president, hopefully. Whoa! And that's going to be, I mean, I can't imagine where this country is going to be tomorrow. But that's what we're all waiting for. Tonight
that's
is going to be
democracy.
There you go. And I'm going to vote right now. So did you already go?
No, I'm going right now.
Awesome.
I'm wearing my white.
Awesome. Take care, everybody, and see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.